And good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. I am coming to you from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, here at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Ministry that broadcasts out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on shortwave through WTWW and also on the internet at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And also up on the audio satellite. No, it's not XM or Sirius, but it is up on an audio satellite. There's an audio satellite receiver available that you can tune in to get that if you'd like. And we're able to do that because of the remnant. Because the remnant supports this ministry, because the remnant, through its tithes and offerings, through your tithes and offerings, you're a part. You pay the bills. You're a part of broadcasting the gospel out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're a part of the prison ministry that sends Bibles and the Bible law courses into the prisoners that request them. And I can tell you that prison ministry is growing every week. More Bibles are being sent into the prisons, and more Bible law courses are being done and completed, and we praise the Lord for that. And we continue to put out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, the true gospel, the truth of the Bible. We continue to put that out from here, from the Radio Ranch, because of the faithful support of the remnant. And we are thankful to you that you have decided to be a part of this ministry. Not just to send in a check and that's it, but to be a part of this ministry. Because when you do support us, when you do tithe, when you do send in donations and offerings, well, you are a part. You're a part of the body. You know, in our Bible reading plan, today is September 1st, 2011. And in our Bible reading plan today is 1 Corinthians 12. And it talks about the body. It talks about different parts of the body. The use of spiritual gifts, but it talks about the body. For the body, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12, for the body is not one member, but many. And it goes on to say, you know, like in verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, and that he's talking about the body of Christ, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, you that are tuning in, me that are reading the Bible here to you, and to myself as well, each and every one of our bodies, each and every one of us as part of that body of Christ. One is not more important than the other. One is not more prevalent than the other. We are all parts. He says here, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And you know, we do that on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We bring the sufferings, the trials, the tribulations, the petitions of the body, of the remnant, before God Almighty. On the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We hope you joined us last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And that is this same broadcast hour, of course, but it's on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we do that very thing. We recognize that when one suffers, all suffer. And so we bring the petitions of the saints before God Almighty. And then verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12 goes on and says, if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And we do that. We rejoice with the members. We rejoice when there are healings. We rejoice with the praise reports. We rejoice when there are brethren that get to get into churches around the country and lead prayer groups and bring sermons and bring messages, even if it's a Sunday school message or whatever it may be, to try to open the eyes. We rejoice with those brethren when they get to do that, because we are all one body. And so you read on through in 1 Corinthians 12. It just comes to mind, especially today, with it being part of our Bible reading plan, the Bible reading plan for today. And we have that September plan posted at the website, scriptures4america.org. We print them off by the dozens here in the office and send them out with orders. We send them into the prisons. We send them usually out with the orders that we have here. And so we'd be glad to send you one if you'd like it. If maybe you don't have internet access, well, we'll send you the Bible reading plan if you'd like it. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, L.A. capital P-O-R-T-E, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And you can write to us and request our newsletter if you don't get it. You can request the Bible reading plan, and we would be glad to send it to you. Boy, current events, we do ask you to pray, and we're going to pray here. We haven't opened up in prayer yet, but I wanted to just talk about that one little bit there about the body and about your support. But we do want to pray for our brethren down south. Looks like Hurricane Hermine or Hermines or Hermine, Hermine. That's a funny name. I don't know how to pronounce it. H-E-R-M-I-N-E. Looks like it's going to hit just at what they call the Great Bend there in Florida, north of Tampa, south of Pensacola. Going to hit the panhandle, and talked to my brother-in-law down there today, and he said, boy, they're already getting the wind, already having flooding in Tampa and St. Pete and places like that over on the Gulf Coast. And so looks like it's going to hit late tonight or early tomorrow. And so I do ask you, keep the remnant down there that are in the path of this hurricane in your prayers. Haven't had a real hurricane hit Florida, I think, for years now, 10 or 11, I think since about 2005 or 6. So it's been 10 or 11 years since they've really had a hurricane down there. And so we do ask you to keep the people in Florida. And then it looks like it's going to roll all into Georgia and South Carolina as well. And but keep them in your prayers. Well, let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here, for this time of fellowship on the radio and on the internet and on the shortwave, Lord, and we thank you for it. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be here with us, guide and direct my thoughts, Lord, of when I read your word, when I speak of things, Lord, help it edify your people, help it open their eyes to the truth of your word, to your grace and your mercy, Lord, also to your instructions, and to what we are to do and what we aren't to do, Lord. And Lord, we do. We lift our remnant up down in Florida and Georgia and South Carolina to you, Lord, as they brace themselves for Hurricane Hermine, that, Lord, you would be with them, that you would strengthen them and protect them. Lord, protect all that are yours as the waters come, as the winds blow. Lord, we know it's part of the nature, part of this earth, this system that you have created here. And we give you all the glory and honor for it. Lord, let there be testimonies, Lord, of your people saved through this storm and delivered. And Lord, that's our request. We thank you for it, Lord. Be with your people and be with us as we continue on putting forth your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, last week we talked a little bit about, and I didn't get through all my notes, so I wanted to kind of go back there, but I've got some current events, I think, that tie right in with it. But last week, we talked about why we have failed, why we failed the different movements that have come along, why we failed to fix the problems that we have here in this country. The Tea Party has failed. They've had millions come in with them. Has that fixed our problems? No. The Patriot groups, the white nationalist groups, no. None of the things that have come in the legalistic groups. Talked with a brother today that, it's just, you got to refuse this motion and not sign here and do this. And, maybe it's worked for him for a little while. But, it does not work for us as a people. And that's because we haven't recognized the cause of our woes. We read back from Judges, and in Judges 6, we read about Midian. It was a time of Midian oppressing Israel. And again, the reason was why? Why was that happening? And it was because we as a people had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Didn't matter what our opinion was. It didn't matter what we thought was right or wrong. But it was what was right or wrong, what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Let's turn over there. Judges 6. We'll do a quick review here. And because it tells us, Judges 6:1, then the sons of Israel, that's you and me, folks. We want to make sure everybody understands that. That's not those that deny that Jesus is the Christ that are called Jews today. You can read about them in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. No, that's not who these people in Judges 6 are. This is the sons of Israel, the sons of the promise. That's who that this is talking about. And these are those that all the promises of the Bible are for. And these are the people that the few that remained, the few that made it through all these trials and tribulations, the remnant then, they went on to form a multitude of nations. The European nations, and then of course the great mass migration that formed this once great Christian nation of the new JERUSALEM, this heavenly kingdom, as America is called in the ancient Gothic language. And so it's very important that we understand, and I know it's basic review, and it is just understood by many of the people that have been on this ministry for a while. But there are so many new people tuning in. I just want to take that minute to make sure that you understand that when it says the sons of Israel, it is the Christians of today. It is the forefathers of the Christians today. Verse 1 of Judges 6, then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And see, that's why they had the problems then. That's why Midian was oppressing them then. And that is why we once again find ourselves in the mess we're in. And with the crime that we have, with the taxes that we have, with the oppression, with the persecutions that we are seeing coming against this nation, with the loss of our national sovereignty, with the loss of our once Christian cultures and education that are being replaced by the ungodly. And as verse 10 says, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. And see, that's the why. That's the why. That's what it always comes down to, is the why. Is because God has said to trust and obey Him, to read His Word, to write His laws, statutes, and judgments upon our hearts, upon our doorposts, to post them in our homes, to have them everywhere that we are so we can look upon them and we can see how good they are, because His law is good. And of course, then we read on, that's when Gideon is called. And we talked about this, just a quick review, but Gideon was called. And remember, he even talked back to the angel and said, or replied would be a better term, replied to the angel, I'm the least of the least. The least in my family, my family's the least in the land. Why are you calling me? The reason Gideon was called was because he recognized the why. He understood the why. He understood the cause of their troubles, of the troubles that they were in. He believed, yes. He knew that it was that because God had given them into the hand of Midian. And it was because of their sin. And it was because Gideon was humble. As we read there in Gideon of Gideon in Judges 6. He was humble. He, you know, Lord, why me? Again, he was the least of the least. And, you know, we read last week in Job 22, verse 29 and 30, that it is the humble that God will save. We have to remember that. And see, the Bible talks about those that are saved, and it gives many definitions. Here in Job, he said it's that the humble that God will save. And so we have to remember that humility is part of, has to be, should be part of our Christian life. We also read in the Bible that those that persevere are saved. And so, you know, when we have the trials and tribulations in our lives, we are to persevere through them. We are to not lose our faith. We're not to turn to a bottle of booze. We're not to turn to drugs or to fornication or to those type of things when we have trials and tribulations, maybe losses in our life. We're not to do that. We are to persevere. We are to show our true character. Maybe it's our true character that needs to be developed. And God is doing that because He does that with those that He loves. So we are to persevere. We are to be humble. We are to be obedient to His Word. We certainly are to be believers. He who believes shall be saved. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely. But we remember that's not the only thing the Bible says. Not just to believe, not just to obey, but, you know, to be humble. The humble He will save. To those that persevere. And so, that is one of the reasons that, well, that they were delivered then. Gideon was humble. Gideon persevered. And you know, when you read of Gideon, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't a big Samson. He wasn't a King David. He wasn't a Saul who just, you know, went out into battle. You read in verse 7, well, at the end of chapter 6, you read how the sign of the fleece, how he tests God. He tests the angel twice. Now, Lord, if this is what you want, he puts out the fleece. Let it all be wet and everything around it dry. And then he does it again. And so, you know, he had some doubt. His faith was being increased. And I mention that because this should be a good example for us. I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. I don't always say the right thing. I don't always do the right thing. I don't always... Well, I'm not perfect. And so, you know, I there's times that, you know, we need our faith to be increased. We need our character to be strengthened and to be formed and molded into how God wants it to be His servant. And that's how Gideon was. And so when we read of Gideon back in Judges 6 and Judges 7, this should be an encouragement to us. And, you know, Remnant, I hope it's an encouragement to you that, you know, if you stumble, if you fall, well, that happens. Get back up. Doesn't Proverbs tell us that? That, we may stumble, but we get back up. We don't stay down. We don't be as the world and turn to the lusts of the flesh or the desires of the world to help us get through those problems. No, we persevere. We continue on and we're humble about it. In Judges chapter 7, in talking about Gideon, in verse 10, the Lord has come to Gideon and telling him to go down into the camp of the Midian. Because remember now, by this time, Gideon's down to only 300 men. And the Lord must have sensed that Gideon had some doubt. He had some faith issues. Lord, 300? We had, what did we have, 30,000? We had over 30,000 and now I'm down to 300? Oh boy. And he probably had, you know, some doubt. Verse 10 Judges 7. But if you're afraid to go down, Gideon, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterwards your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp. So Gideon does that. He takes his servant, and he says, hey, come down with me. Let's go. The Lord told me to come down. He told me to take you with me. So let's go. And they go down, and they hear. And verse 15 says, when Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. And so God encouraged him. God gave him a sign. And you know, God gives us signs as well. He does. And so I just wanted to talk about that, because he used Gideon to encourage the people. And Gideon wasn't perfect. Gideon had doubts. Gideon needed to have his faith kind of restored a little bit. And God did that. God used his servant to encourage him, his servant Pura. He used the enemies of God to encourage him. When he went down and heard the enemy saying, oh, this Gideon's going to wipe us out. This barley loaf is just going to roll all over us. And so God will use things, men, remnant. He will use things in your life to encourage you if you'll let him do it. If you'll have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. If you'll be like Gideon and understand why. That's a big part. Why we're in the mess we're in. And it's because of our sin. Because we've turned away from God. And you know, a couple other things that come out of the Gideon story. If you look in Judges chapter 8 in verse 22. In verse 22, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son, also your son's son, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. And you know, many times the flesh would say, sure, I've done that. God's used me. He used me to deliver you. He'll use me to be king. And yes, okay. And why not? He's used me here. He'll continue to use me. And see, but that at times can be the flesh. We have to guard against that. We have to be careful when that comes up. Let's read on to see how did Gideon, this humble servant who had understanding, who did deliver Israel from their oppressors because he understood why they'd been given into the hand of their enemies, and because he was obedient to God and a humble man, then God used him to deliver Israel. Let's read verse 23 of Judges 8. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. The Lord shall. And you know, he is our king. Wasn't that the battle cry? No, you don't read about it in these public fool systems, but you can read about it in The Light and the Glory. You can read about it if you research it in the right books. Was not the battle cry in the Revolutionary War, no king but King Jesus? Yes, it was. And the Lord is to rule over us. We are to have him as king, not Gideon and not any man. Let the Lord rule over you. And when you read on through it, they had 40 years of peace. The land was undisturbed for 40 years in the days of Gideon. But you know, Gideon didn't live forever. And after those 40 years, Gideon, well, he died. He went the way of all men. And as soon as he did, verse 33 tells us, the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-Berith their god. And they did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the household of Gideon. See how quickly they forgot. And you know, that's just how we are today. How quickly we forget. Each generation is given the opportunity to choose God or the Baals. Each generation. And you know, within that each generation, I'll take it down to each man, each person. And I'm speaking, I think, mostly to the men tonight. But each of us is given the choice whether to choose. If God is God, if Jesus Christ is Lord, if He is the God of gods, the King of kings, if He is the great physician, if He is the one, the only one who overcame death, if He is the one that gave His very life for joy looking to the cross to save you and me from our sins and our sicknesses and our diseases and from the hands of all who hate us, if He is God, then serve Him. Make that choice. And if not, if you choose not to, then choose whatever, serve whatever you want. See, we each and every one of us have that choice. If we make that choice to serve Him, well, then we change our ways. We change our ways of thinking. We change our ways of acting. We change what we look at, what we do, what we say to be His servant. Well, today in the land, we haven't done that. We haven't. We've once again been and do just like they did in Judges 6. We've done what is evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord has given us over to our oppressors. And that's not all He's given us over to. The diseases in the land. Saw some reports today, they're spraying as far up as South Carolina for the Zika virus. And they are hammering it in the southeast. And I'll say, if you've got news reports along that, because I only saw one, and I couldn't get a lot of backup and good references on it. But our email here is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Stands for Scriptures for America Worldwide. And if you see news articles, email them to us. I'd like to do a little review of the news on this on Sunday morning in the next couple of weeks regarding this. But I've heard that the bees are dying by the millions after being sprayed for this Zika virus. That I don't know if they're spraying DDT or malathion or what, but I have heard and just saw some news reports in the last day or two about that. But the diseases that are coming back upon us because we have done what is evil in the sight of the Lord. I got a report here that 82% of the tuberculosis cases in Nebraska, they're our neighbor here, but 82 cases are foreign born. That's 31 out of the 38 cases. You might think, well, 38 cases ain't a whole lot. Well, tuberculosis was all but completely eradicated in this nation over 100 years ago. It was very rare, maybe 75 years ago. It's been very rare since World War II that you have any problems, that we've had any problems at all with tuberculosis. But these diseases have come back upon us. Foreign-born cases of tuberculosis. And these are just the ones that are reported. It could be 10 times this. It could be 100 times this. But this is what's reported. And that they're seeing basically the drug-resistant, antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis is on an increase. Now we've shared these stories and these things with you in the past. We've seen a big rise in this in Texas, in California, in New York, and we've shared with you the increase in all of these previously third world country diseases that have sprung up again in America that were either never heard of here, like Chagas. And, of course, this Zika virus. And here is this tuberculosis that is just, in Nebraska now. And they attribute the news media, the reports that I've seen here, of course, they attribute it. They say the majority of it, 82% of it, of the cases there are from foreigners, are foreign born. And so the diseases of Egypt have come back upon us. And, the whole demographics, the whole, not just in Nebraska, but then in our whole country, are changing. And it's changing not for the better, but for the good. We see more foreigners and more illegals coming in everywhere. We've been seeing it for a generation or two, and it's just becoming commonplace. But you know, it wasn't always that way. It wasn't always that way. You know, we didn't have these problems 50 years ago, 75 years ago. You know, 50 years ago, we still had prayer in school. 50 years ago, children could still take their Bible to school. They were still taught godly biblical principles. But they're not anymore. We have turned away from the Lord as a people, and these things have come upon us. You know, that's not all that's come upon us. Our children have been stolen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to Hosea. That's in the Old Testament. I can give you the page number that it is in my book, but that ain't going to help you a whole lot. At least the page number in my Bible. It's page 701, if that helps you. But Hosea, Old Testament, it's after Daniel, and it's before Amos and Obadiah and Micah, and right there before Zephaniah. But Hosea 4, starting in verse 6, says, well, let's start in verse 4, because, you know, let's just start up in verse 1. And this is Hosea 4, because, oh, this applies today. Breaks my heart, but we continue on to struggle here, and we continue on to get the word out to the remnant. Hosea 4, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beast of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Verse 4. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Our children have been forgotten as a people because we have forgotten God. And this word of God is just as true as John 3:16. It is just as true as John 1:1. It is just as true as the Sermon on the Mount. It is truth. It is truth. I want you to turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, verses 17 and 18, he says, behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them, who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold, and their bows will mow down the young men. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb, nor will their eye pity children. Have you heard of a child lately named Brittany Drexel? Beautiful young lady, 17 years old. You didn't hear the abomination talking about her? You haven't heard Rush Limbaugh talking about Brittany Drexel? You haven't heard about her on MSNBC? She's a child, a daughter. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 18, and we're going to start reading in verse 31. I think that's where I want to be. Nope, we are going to go to Jeremiah 31. Sorry about that. Jeremiah 31. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Have you wept for Brittany Drexel? You might not know who she is. Maybe you haven't heard of her. She was a teenager who vanished in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, back in 2009. She was 17 years old. She was originally from Rochester, New York, and she got out from underneath the covering of her parents. Don't know who her parents are, but I've grieved for them. And Brittany Drexel, this beautiful young, bright-eyed, blonde-haired, 17-year-old. Well, she was captured. She was captured by some of the aliens that are in the land, some of the people that are not our people. She was taken. She was gang raped for 2 weeks by these brutes. And when she tried to escape, she was pistol whipped and shot twice. Bam, bam, and killed. And then they took her body and they threw her out in some ponds where they knew the alligators were, so the alligators would eat up the evidence. Nobody talks about it. Our children have been stolen. Is it because it hasn't happened to you that you are not as Rachel weeping for your children? Oh God Almighty, forgive us. Lord, your word is truth. Forgive us, Lord, for forgetting you and your word and your law. That, Lord, was justified in Jesus Christ, was our tutor and is our tutor to Christ, Lord. And not one bit of it has been done away with. Forgive us, O Lord, for forgetting your law, for giving you cause to forget our children, like Brittany Drexel. O Lord, forgive us. Lord, comfort the parents of this child that was so brutally taken and abused and beaten and raped and killed. Forgive us, O Lord. Let our heart break for this that happens in our land. And Lord, let it drive your people to repentance. Let us weep for our children, Lord, and our neighbors' children as we see all this happening. In Jesus' name, amen. As Jeremiah 3:11 says, return, faithless Israel, return. You know, all of Jeremiah it tells of that, to return to him. Why? Why should we return to him? Jeremiah 9:21 says, for death has come up through our windows. It has entered our palaces to cut off the children from the streets, the young men from the town squares. Thus says the Lord, the corpses of men will fall like dung on the open field and like the sheaf after the reaper, but no one will gather them. Why return to him? Do you not love your children? Has your heart grown so cold, America, that you don't even love your children, that you don't realize why things like this happen to people like Brittany Drexel? Do you not even care? Return to me, says God, and I will return to you. Nehemiah 1, verse 9 says, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote parts of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. And see, his name is to dwell within us. It is to be part of our life, part of our society. Return to me. return to me, says God. Zechariah 1:3 says that very thing. Let's read Zechariah 1. We'll start in verse 1. In the eighth month of the year, second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you." And see, people, when we return to Him, when we return to His law, to His word, to His righteousness, to what is right in His eyes, then, oh, He remembers our children. He forgets them no more. He remembers our children. He comes and heals our land and brings righteousness back before us. Malachi 3:7 says the same thing. Return to me, and I will return to you. There is hope. There is hope. It ain't over yet. There is hope. You know, one thing that's been encouraging to me that I've seen just over the last few days, I saw it back last month, and it came up again just recently this week, and I thought, you know, it gave me encouragement. It truly did. I hope it does to you as well. And I want to go there. And basically, I'd like to read a couple quotes. This was at a gathering of Christians. And this was the quote. Here it says, "Before we come into this place, we need to purify our hearts and get rid of the stuff in our land. Be as pure as you can when you come into this place with God's people. We're going to talk with the Lord today. It's not about this person or that person. It's about God Almighty and what He's going to do with all of us today. The work ahead of us must start with the believers. We as believers need to unify, putting aside denominations and instead be in harmony as Christians. We need to ask God to change hearts and to ask Him to draw people back to Him." Now that's the quote. This was in the national news. Here's a little bit more of the quote. "It's not too late. If we turn our back on God, it's too late." I'll tell you that now. Now this is a quote. Let me read that to you again. "It's not too late. But if we turn our back on God, it's too late. The moral and political walls of our nation are crumbling. Politicians and, sad to say, churches are more concerned about political correctness than they are about God's truth and His righteousness. Look what Nehemiah did. He fasted and he prayed and he rebuilt the walls." And then the person asked the crowd gathered to ask for forgiveness for the nation's sins. And he said, "First, let's confess the sins of the nation. Sins like abortion. Sins like same-sex marriage." This is quotes here, folks. "Sins like an entertainment industry that peddles sex, and the neglect of our nation's poor is prime examples." And you know, the people were moved to pray. The people were moved to pray and to return. And through these quotes that I've read to you, you see one thing that comes out, one thing that caught my eye is they were saying, ask. Purify your hearts. You know, what do you have to do that? You have to ask for repentance. There's repentance. You have to have that. That is so needed. Repentance. Ask to purify your hearts. Purify your hands, you sinners. Be washed. That's what we have to do. That's what we need to do. Ask, Jesus said, and it shall be given to you. If you want more wisdom, ask for wisdom. If you want to draw near to God, He tells you how. You heard it in this talk tonight. Return to Him. Put His word before your eyes. Return to me, He says, and I will return to you. Repentance. Purify your hearts And then you need, as it said in this quote, talk to the Lord today. When's the last time you prayed? And remnant that are faithful, true followers of Jesus Christ that love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, I know you pray every day. I know you pray for us. We sense those prayers. Those prayers of protection and health. And, you know, we thank you for the prayers of health and healing, like on Dr. Dan. He's doing better, astounding. The doctors, I thank you for the prayers offered up last night for me on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I slept about 10 hours last night, longer than I've slept in a long time, and doing much better today. I thank you for the prayers. We are to pray for one another. We see that all throughout the Bible. And then we ask. We ask. And when Jesus, He told us that, ask and it shall be given to you. You know, we need to ask that we have Christian leaders in this land. We need to ask God to allow a revival of repentance to flow through this land. That's what we need. And if we will ask Him, if we will humble ourselves and ask Him, He will do that. He always has. Wow, we're about out of time. Where did the evening go? I didn't get to open the phone lines again up tonight. Well, we'll have to do that maybe Saturday with coffee with the Wranglers. We'll encourage you to join us there, and we'll have the phone lines open up Saturday morning. But we have to be as Paul was when he addressed the leaders of the day, when he said, I must obey God rather than man. And when we do that, it doesn't mean that we push and try to disobey man. But when it comes down to obeying God or man in this political correct world that we're in, we must obey God rather than man. Because we haven't been for several generations now. And because we haven't, the diseases have come back upon us. The oppression, just as it was in the days of Gideon, with Midian oppressing and coming against them, we have had that come back against us. The terror within and the terror without is once again upon our land, upon our nation, upon our people. Our children are destroyed. They are taken from us. Not even to mention the abortions that are still rampant in the land. But our children are taken from us and they are destroyed. And it all proves God's word. It proves that we have a loving Savior. It proves that His laws are immutable. His laws do not change. His word does not change. It is the same today as it was yesterday, as it was in the beginning, as it will be at the end of Revelation when it's amen and amen and it's all over. We'll wrap up here with 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse 13. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and I pause there because you know what? That has happened. This is today. We have the pestilence. We have the locust among us. We have the land being devoured along with us, the people in it. So this is today. So when God is saying, when I do this, verse 14, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. When? When we humble ourselves as Gideon, when we turn from our wicked ways, when we ask, as that quote that I gave you, when we ask for our hearts to be purified, when we ask, when we repent, and we realize that it's because of our sin, when we do that, and we return to God and cry out to Him as a people, then, it says, He will hear from heaven, will forgive our sins, and will heal our land. When will you do that, America? When will you do that? I encourage you to do it now. Well, that's all the time we have tonight. Again, thank you, Remnant, for tuning in. Join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. We'll do our best to have the phone lines open then. We'll take your calls and try to answer your questions, or just give us a call in, share a cup of coffee, and we'll sure do our best to enjoy some sweet fellowship. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Our address, if you want to write to us, I'll give it to you one more time. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And we encourage you to write in. We get quite a bit of correspondence, and we do our best to answer all of it. And remember that this ministry is totally supported by your free will tithes and offerings. And we encourage you to support us. We want to let you know, we want to thank you, those of you that do support us, because it allows us to continue to get these gospel truths, these truths from the Bible, out to His remnant. Well, again, thanks for joining us. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless all of you that are His. Bless you and keep you. May His face and countenance shine upon you. Be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, amen.